When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's
that
first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a...
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the heartland of this great country, at the crossroads, comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show, heard only through ConservativeNationMedia.com. Your infidel host, Robert Garding, comes to you from West Central Indiana, one of only two states in America who runs their budget in the black. You are listening to Hour 1 of the show, and now, here's your host, Robert Garding.
Well, I'll tell you, I take a week off and do myself a show where I don't have to do hardly anything because I've got, instead of bumper music, I got a full song and I can sit and not do anything. And I screw up the very first time I come back to do a really good show. So I guess that just goes to show you got to stay in practice. We've been taking the week and hoping that you all had a wonderful Christmas this year. Ours was good, except my father-in-law, who decided to have something that nobody thought he would. He had a heart attack the week before Christmas, and nobody knew about it. And during Christmas week, he was in the hospital, and they didn't think he would ever come home. Well, he's at home right now, but not doing too well, but we are actually feeling a little better for the fact that he is home. Did you get to hear the second annual Christmas pageant that CNN put on this year? It was great, and if you haven't heard it, it would probably be a thrill if you went to the archives and gave it a listen. Great old Christmas music and hits from the past like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You remember that show with Burl Ives and the story of the misfit toys? It was great, and I thank Conservative Nation Media for taking the time out to put that together. It was great and wonderful show and walked me down memory lane. It was a great trip, I'll tell you. There is a new poll out from Washington Examiner this week. This one is a bit different, though, from the types of polls we usually see. There were no questions about Obamacare or whether respondents approved of Obama's overall performance. Nope. This poll attempts to measure historical significance, which is something the media normally doesn't even care about. And this was not just about Obama, but several other former presidents as well, and there are some interesting findings. This poll was really just for fun, so I'm not sure how much we should read into this. To be fair, when a sitting president is included in polls like this, there is so much anger about some of his current policies, and I remember this poll was essentially done during George Bush's term, and there was a lot of anger from the people on things that he did, even though he was, I think he did things more in the perspective of trying to help this country than President Obama has been doing. The approval numbers tend to be lower than after he has finished his term. And on the other hand, exactly how much they improve remains to be seen. But for now, Obama is seen as more of a failure than any of his modern predecessors. The poll rates every U.S. president since 1900. Obama leads the pack with 37% calling his time in office a complete failure, which is cool, because it has been. This is more than the 32% consider George W. Bush and his time in office as a failure, and much more than the 30% who saw Nixon as a failure. And you know how the media and the left constantly talk about how Nixon was the most horrible president we ever had. Well, here we go. the media and the liberals are wrong because Obama's right at the top of the list on that. And among other modern presidents rated as a failure, only Jimmy Carter comes close with 22%. Those are certainly high numbers. But when you combine this number with those who said that he is a below-average president, it means that almost a majority, 47%, consider Obama to be at the very least an ineffectual leader. Something else interesting involves looking at the other side of the graphic. It seems that 14% of those who responded to this survey considered Obama a great president. Now, while I am at a loss to understand or agree with that number, it places Obama in a tie with Dwight Eisenhower for the seventh in that category. It would seem that people either love Obama or hate him, or at least they have a reaction to his policies. If this poll is any indication, it would certainly look like Obama needs to do some work on improving his legacy, and we all have told him that one. But then again, maybe he really doesn't even care. I seem to recall Obama saying he would rather be a one-term president and have all his agenda accomplished than win re-election but have troubles getting his policy initiatives through. He got his two terms, and he got Obamacare pushed through. But in the end, it looks like his agenda is going to have far-reaching effects into the lives of everyday people, and not for the better. Personally, I would expect Obama to rank near the top of similar polls in terms of being considered a failure. Hopefully, in the future, another president will be able to clean up the mess that Obama has made of our health care system, and also not to mention the scandals he's responsible for. What do you think? Would you rank Obama as a failure? If not, where would you rank him? I rate him as the worst of anything we have ever had in Washington, D.C. Seems we have a sort of shakedown going here in America now. A federal judge in Oklahoma City has granted an injunction to block an Obamacare mandate that religion-based groups provide insurance allowing access to the morning after pill and other contraceptives. Friday's preliminary injunction came in favor of a class action lawsuit that 187 ministries filed in October, reports Fox News. The group insurance provides benefits, and I've got a little kink in my earpiece right at the moment. I'm not really sure what it is, so I hope it's not coming through. But for some reason, every couple of seconds, it's making a little noise. So I hope it's not ruining the audio for the show. But the group insurance provides benefits through Guidestone Financial Resources, which operates through the Southern Baptist Convention. The ministries objected to providing 4 of 20 different contraceptives approved by the Food and Drug Administration, including both the morning after and the week after pills, which opponents believe may cause early abortions. This is an overwhelming victory for Guidestone and the nearly 200 plaintiffs in this class action lawsuit, said Adele Keim, K-E-I-M, a lawyer for Guidestone and the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, which helped represent the ministries. And he said today's ruling will allow hundreds of Baptist ministries to continue preaching the gospel and serving the poor without laboring under the threat of massive fines. And the way that Obamacare was written, if the churches don't, and places like to have the objection to having to supply the contraceptives and things like that, the fine is immense, enormous actually. The insurance groups must comply with other Obamacare regulations, the ruling states, but the injunction prevents the government from enforcing the mandate as the suit continues and will help the religious groups avoid massive fines. Federal Judge Timothy DeGussie, I think, said the ministries have the right to challenge the contraceptive mandate ruling. An injunction was needed to keep the government from forcing the provision on them. Friday's ruling came just days after a New York judge ruled that non-exempt religious groups are not bound by the Affordable Care Act's mandate requiring coverage for contraceptives and other birth control options. In the ruling, Brooklyn Federal Court Judge Brian Cogan barred the government from enforcing the mandate against Catholic Health Care System, Catholic Health Services of Long Island, Cardinal Stellman High School, and Monsignor Farrell High School, the Catholic Roman Catholic Archdiocese of New York, and the health educational groups had challenged the mandate on the religious federal government, later issued a rule that exempted the archdiocese, but said schools and healthcare affiliates were still subject to the law, which takes effect on January 1st. And that's coming right up, folks. We're right at the end of this, and we have to get this repealed, although it's beginning to look like, you know, even though the people are starting to come up in arms on this, they're still kind of hemming and hawing on it. Well, the people aren't, but the politicians in Washington are. In the Oklahoma case, DiGiase repeatedly to the lawsuit filed by Oklahoma-based, city-based arts and crafts chain Hobby Lobby. In that lawsuit, Hobby Lobby's owner, a Christian family, said the morning after pill mandate would violate their beliefs. However, had their insurance not given access to the drug, the company could have faced fines up to $1.3 million daily. And I told you those fines were immense. Here, as in Hobby Lobby, the court finds that plaintiffs have a threshold showing a substantial burden and thus a likelihood of success. And in other headlines or related stories, Obamacare's contraceptive mandate is blocked by appeals court and Obamacare contraceptive mandate opposed by half of America. See, folks, finally we are starting to hear good news, even though the people in Washington, D.C. still don't see it. Imagine that. I'd like to let you in on a little secret. Those of us who love America but are about to roll out the big guns, and we've got some big ones out here anyway, but here comes the big ones. We can't bring serious anti-communists like Joe McCarthy, Ronald Reagan, and Barry Goldwater back onto the air, but we think we've found the next best thing, and it starts on Thursdays, January 16th. Patriot writer, broadcaster, and conservative intellectual Lisa Richards is joining conservativenationmedia.com on the 16th of January at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, with the new show, The Rock and Roll Politics. If William F. Buckley were around today, Lisa would be his favorite broadcaster, and she'll be yours too. Lisa Richards, Rock and Roll Politics, starting Thursday, January 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com. And that is where America always wins. Millions of Americans are facing hidden tax surcharges on their insurance premiums under Barack Obama's health care law, as well as new health-related taxes on their income tax bills, the New York Post reports. Some health insurance companies are not informing patients about Obamacare taxes, instead deciding to quietly pass them on to its customers. But Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alabama has revealed the taxes on its bills with a separate line item for, quote, Affordable Care Act fees and taxes. This is cool. According to the report quoting Kaiser Health News, the surprise taxes on one customer's bill was $23.14 a month or $277.68 annually, which increased the monthly premium from $322.26 to $345.40 for that person. And they say it's affordable? I do not think so. The 2% tax on customers for every health plan is expected to net about $8 billion for the government in 2014 and increase to $14.3 billion in 2018. Now, boy, I'll tell you, you know, if we as families could increase our income by $8 billion a year, whoo, would we ever be living high on the hog? And the difference here is the government won't have anything to show for it at the end of this. We would, but the government wouldn't. There's also a $2 fee per policy that goes into a new medical research trust fund called the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute. As for insurers, they have to pay a 3.5% user fee to sell medical plans on the healthcare.gov website. The government's getting money from everybody, folks. This is ridiculous. The Post says Obamacare supporters may point out that federal subsidies for low-income families will cover the taxes and pay a large part of the actual premiums. However, there's also another Obamacare tax that people don't know about. Americans who have to buy medical devices like pacemakers, stents, and prosthetic limbs will have to fork over a 2.3% medical device tax. Another hidden expense will affect Americans who have to pay out a large share of their annual income for medical costs. Currently, Americans are allowed to deduct a medical expense higher than 7.5% of their incomes. But that figure leaps from 7.5% to 10% under Obamacare, which will cost taxpayers $15 billion over 10 years, says the Post. For some Americans, there will also be an increase in Medicare tax, in the Medicare tax. Individuals earning more than $200,000 a year and families earning more than $250,000 will have a 0.9% surtax over the existing 1.5% they already pay. So they'll essentially be paying not quite double, but it's coming up close. These are just a few of the new taxes coming into play in a month or so. Well, that's just actually in a couple of days now. So do you realize that if your paycheck doesn't cut it now, that after Obamacare gets a hold of it, you will have much less to have for your expenses? See what we have wrought, folks? It's time to repeal before it's too late. And sadly, folks, what I talked about here is just the beginning of what is to come. We will be right back.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In another related subject, a new poll out suggests that 77% of Americans want Obamacare repealed. So why aren't the politicians in Washington listening? listening to this. I know we are speaking loud enough. 2 out of 3 voters want Obamacare delayed, including a majority of Democrats who now say they want the new health care law postponed, a surge in sentiment that has climbed 10% since October in the latest Fox News polls. A majority said they would vote to have the new health care law repealed if they were able, and they wish that it had never passed and the old system was still in place, according to a poll taken December 14th through 16th of 1,027 registered voters across the country. The Fox News poll was one of two polls published Wednesday that showed the growing unpopularity of the law. The latest New York Times CBS News poll also showed that a majority disapprove of the new health care law, and even the uninsured who are supposed to benefit from the law disapprove of it. 77% of the uninsured told the Times that they disagree with the requirement to buy insurance in the poll taken December 5th through 8th of 1,000 adults and December 4th through 15th of 702 of uninsured adults. While a majority said they were likely to get insurance by the end of the open enrollment period on March 31st, 35% said they would likely just opt to pay the fine. Now, that's a huge number, folks. Getting the uninsured to enroll through one of the exchanges is considered key to making Obamacare financially viable. However, only 37% of Americans and 33% of the uninsured in that poll believe the health care law should be repealed altogether, a number that has fallen since November before the front end of the healthcare.gov was largely fixed. And, well, at least they say it was anyway. I don't think it was. In the Fox News poll, 60% said they don't believe enough people will enroll in health insurance, which would help the success of the law, while 42% of the uninsured in the Times poll said they perused one of the government-run health insurance exchanges. Only 10% said they had actually applied, and that's a huge number too. Now, out of the 42%, 32% of those didn't even apply. 2 in 3 voters in the Fox News poll said the Obama administration knew that it wasn't true that Americans who liked their doctors would be able to keep their doctors. 95% of those polled said being able to choose their own doctor is important. That's 95% of the people, folks. Gee, and here we have Obama saying, trying to tell us that it's the Republicans who is stopping this, and the Tea Party that is causing his so-called signature health care bill not to work? No, it's 95% of the people. They don't want it to work. Over 70% find the broken promises that individuals could keep their health insurance and or doctors troubling. Now, I would say that troubling is kind of a loose term to use for that. But the same poll also had 59% of voters saying they disapprove of Obama's job performance on health care. 30% of the uninsured of the Times poll predict that Obamacare will cause quality of health care to worsen. Yeah. Robin Logan of Bowie, Maryland, is an uninsured Democrat who is skeptical of the effect Obamacare will have on the healthcare system and her ability to see a doctor. She says, I need a doctor, and my fear is that even if I get insurance, I won't be able to find one, she said. I was on Medicaid at one point and couldn't find a doctor because no one would take me. Now, folks, does this really sound like it has improved healthcare in America? And we haven't even seen the true beginning of this yet. And we're seeing all these troubles already. Most Americans are in for a very rude awakening soon, and we here on the right have been warning everyone for years now, ever since Obamacare was first talked about. You have been warned over and over and over again what is coming, and even with all the talk about what is really coming, the GOP in Washington still will not take to the streets and demand the repeal of this horrible law, a law that is unconstitutional at best. And the words good for us is not in it anywhere. Obama is going to be the death of the medical business in America. And when it fully takes effect, folks, you can quote me on this one, we are going to be wishing for the good old days when we could buy our own insurance or not buy insurance, and the government had nothing to say about it. It was our choice. So welcome to Socialism 101, folks. Communism 202 is on its way. Capitalism and our republic is all but gone now. It's time to stop this insanity and bring our country back to the founding principles that this country was founded on before it's too late. And this is something that just grieves me terribly to have to say. We right now have a president who cares nothing for what we say. He cares nothing for what is good for this country. And the only thing I have to say about Obama is that he kept his promise, which is something politicians don't normally do. But if you remember back to days before he won the election, he told everybody, he says, we are days from fundamentally changing America. He kept that promise, folks. And then we elected him a second time so he could continue on down that road, fundamentally changing and, I might add, destroying America. I just have so much trouble understanding what was going through the people's minds when they elected him. But I also think that one of the things that was going on when we elected him was the fact that the election process was not fully our own at that point in time. I think the Muslim Brotherhood was involved in that. I really think they were. And if you'd listened to Kathy Hinner's show last night, she talked a lot about what the Muslim Brotherhood has been doing and what they have been trying to do. Some of the stuff that she had on her show last night and that I've got later on in this show about that is really scary, folks. America is not the America we were born in anymore. America is not the country we grew up in anymore. And it's time we realize this, because we have to stop and figure out just how to get that country back, because the one that's coming and the one that's being formed right now will never work. And it's on the road to failure even before it gets started. We will be right back. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. Because a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service, LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And there's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock to help you protect your identity and everything else. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com and then click on the LifeLock banner. You will be very glad that you did. You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, and the call-in number for you listeners out there is 718-305-7176.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books, because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Yeah, I guess, you know, it's Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
$10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz is blasting the bipartisan budget deal that passed the Senate this last week, saying the deal, quote, went backwards and would only worsen the nation's spiraling debt. Okay. The budget compromise that had been championed by GOP Representative Paul Ryan in the House passed the Senate by a 63-36 vote, showing folks again that the people in Washington are not listening to us speaking. Speaking to Newsmax magazine in an exclusive interview, Cruz said Friday, "It's a sad statement that the easiest way to get bipartisan agreement in Washington is to increase spending, debt, and taxes. That's why the American people are so frustrated with career politicians in Washington in both parties, because they're not listening to the American people, and we're not working to solve the enormous fiscal and economic challenges that we're facing." Amen to that. At least some are getting it. The deal with the budget reduces the impact of the automatic sequester cuts by about $63 billion over 2 years. So that's like... $63 billion, so that's $31.5 billion a year. And that's stupid because the government spends that much in an hour, for crying out loud. Critics have pointed out that $23 billion over 10 years is only about 3% of the federal government's $680 billion deficit for the 2013 alone. The U.S. national debt, which was roughly $10 trillion when President Obama took office, now stands at over $17 trillion, and Cruz warned time is running out to fix it. "We have a brief window of time to turn things around," he said. "We don't have a long time." Yeah. He added, "We are nearing the point of no return." Cruz described himself as profoundly optimistic that the nation will eventually get its balance sheet back in order, but not thanks to Washington. "The answer is going to have to come from the American people," he said. "It's not going to come from Washington. That's got to come from the millions and millions of Americans across this country standing up and holding elected officials accountable, telling elected officials of both parties, stop doing what you're doing over and over again. It's not working," unquote. Increasingly, Cruz is being mentioned among the top potential contenders for the 2016 GOP nomination, perhaps due to the spotlight shined on him during the shutdown over Obamacare. Cruz's name recognition has skyrocketed. The freshman senator from Texas recently was named the third most influential figure in the world in a Rasmussen poll, behind only Pope Francis and President Obama. And, of course, President Obama's got to be in there, and I think a lot of that has to do with him himself. The price for his meteoric rise proves is sustaining more frequent political attacks by rivals. New York Republican Representative Peter King, who's more of a Democrat than a Republican in any every sense of the way, reportedly flirting with tossing his own hat in the ring for the 2016 nomination, recently described Cruz and fellow movement conservative Rand Paul out of touch with the American people. See, even on the right, people are, they're out of touch. Asked his reaction to that broadside, Cruz replied that King is certainly entitled to his opinion. But he added, nobody should be surprised that the Washington establishment doesn't want to change. No one should be surprised that the Washington establishment fights back. You don't get a $17 trillion national debt without a whole lot of bipartisan cooperation, without a whole lot of Republicans going along to get along with the Democrats, quoting the size, power, and spending of the federal government. And that's why so many people across the country are rightly fed up with Washington. But Cruz says the sequester unfairly requires the military to bear a disproportionate burden. I think we owe it to the men and women of the military, he said, to stand with them and to support them. One of the most disturbing aspects of this recent budget deal is that it cuts the retirements of our veterans retroactively, and it doesn't do the same thing for the civilian employees. I have to say, folks, that at least we have a few in Washington who see the wrongness of what is going on. This nation, like Senator Cruz says, is nearing the point of no return. If we haven't passed it already, if we reach that point, the only way back is to start completely over, and that means revolution, war, and retaking our government to remake it in the way it was formed to be. And folks, this could and would be deadly, because for years now, the government has been readying itself for such a scenario. Why do you think they have been buying up huge amounts of hollow point ammo and weapons? Surely you have heard that they are. We are in trouble, folks, and it is getting close to that point where we will have to fight for our freedoms, or we will have lost the war for our Constitution already. And from what I have been reading and seeing in the conservative news like Newsmax and The Blaze, they are dangerously close to the end of this republic if we do not do something, and do something quick. We have to get our politicians in line, because they are just so out of control right now. They're just like a little puppy that won't mind and does everything that they possibly can, from chewing up furniture and tearing up drapes and everything. Now that's what Washington politicians right now remind me of, a puppy that chews everything up in the house because they can do it. They are right now acting like a rabid dog that has to be put down for the good of the public. For if they are not, then the public will suffer mightily for it. And mark my words, many may die if it comes to that. And then, you know, and I'm not talking here like scaremongering or anything else. This is what's coming in this country. And there are some of us who really believe what the right is trying to do, what the conservatives, constitutional conservatives, are trying to do for this country. They really believe that if things aren't straightened out soon, this country's in for a hell of a battle, and it's not going to be pretty. That's all I have to say about that one. I'll tell you what, I don't know. I keep trying to think of the America that we used to have, and how we used to just sit there and think that we were in the greatest country, and we never had to think about how we were going to keep it, because we knew we would. Coming down to the point where people like me, who used to think America was something that would always be around, we're starting to think that maybe it's not going to be. especially if the people don't rise up and stop these politicians from acting like the rabid dogs that they are. We have to change this, or this country is going to go down the tubes very quickly, because we are at that point now where it's not going to be just a slow glide down anymore. It's going to hit us like a ton of bricks, and a lot of us are going to be sitting there, sitting back wondering, what the hell happened? We've all been warned, haven't we? America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedoms away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time, and what you can do to protect your liberties under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. The 27-year-old white man, was charged with a federal hate crime in connection with an alleged knockout game-style assault against a 79-year-old black man, the U.S. Justice Department said Thursday. Conrad Alvin Barrett, 27, of Katy, Texas, was charged with one count of violating the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Prevention Act, CNN reported. He was arrested by the FBI Thursday morning without incident, and this was reported on KRIV-TV in Houston. The latest development in a trend The Blaze has reported on extensively, in which assailants attempt to knock out unsuspecting victims, usually passersby on the street, with a single punch. This, to me, is a stupid game, but it also shows the mentality decreasing of the people in this country. According to a federal complaint, Barrett attacked the elderly man on November 24th because of the man's race and color, what Barrett called a knockout. Barrett allegedly recorded himself on his cell phone attacking the man and showed the video to others, an FBI press release stated. The complaint alleges Barrett made several videos, one in which he identifies himself and another in which he makes a racial slur. In addition, Barrett had allegedly been working up the courage to play the knockout game for approximately a week. The victim had two fractures to his jaw and spent more than 4 days in the hospital, said KTRK-TV in Houston, he is still recovering. Now, this one caught my eye because I think this idea of having a game to knock out unsuspecting people is not only dangerous, but downright stupid. But that is not what caught me on this one. Over the last month or so, we have been inundated with stories of black youth running up and knocking down and knocking out elderly white people and others. Have you heard anything from the Justice Department about these being hate crimes? No, you haven't. But the time that it is white going and doing the same thing to an elderly black, right off the bat they come up in arms and throwing around the charges of hate crimes. How moronic can they get? Now, maybe this kid did do things that caused this to be a hate crime, which, you know, and I think rightfully so, he should have been charged with what he did. But the problem with this is that you get the same exact same thing happening from black people coming up and knocking down old white women or somebody who can't defend themselves or doesn't know what's coming. And even if they have said things like to knock out Whitey or get Cracker and knock him out, Those are not hate crimes.
Nah.
Not according to our Justice Department. First off, this knockout game is nothing but moronic, done by kids who spend their lives either on the computer or joining gangs where it doesn't teach you anything but violence. As kids, we used to go out and play, outside and play. We'd play football or hide-and-seek, something, you know, and a lot of the times it'd be constructive, maybe not, but we never got bored because there was always something to do. But now, they get bored and start looking for something to do. Since all they know is computers and gangs, the attention to what they do turns out to be violence. And they think it's really cool. Hey, let's go out and knock out and rob someone who can't defend themselves. Won't that be fun? This is giving us a good idea where we are going wrong today. Parents have lost control of their kids, and the kids run the asylum now. And the liberals in our government love it. This is what they had in mind all along, I think. We will be right back after these messages.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years, we're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay. What?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person." I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
Okay. Okay, I just had a phone call from somebody in the 303 area code, and I was trying to screen them. I'm not exactly sure how to do that, so if you call back, I can get with you in just a few seconds here. I was trying to figure out a way to screen you while my messages were going here, and I guess I didn't do it very well. This story that I was going on with the hate crimes, it kind of goes on from there. And speaking of hate crimes, give a listen to this one, folks, and then ask why this is allowed. According to the National Field Marshal for the New Black Panthers, King Samir Shabazz, some of the things that he says, I love white-on-white crime because it is the best crime. And he also says, I hate the GD white man, woman, and child, grandma, aunt, uncle, pappy, Billy, Bob, and whoever else. Why is all of this allowed? I mean, if a white person was saying this about blacks, this whole country would be up in arms about it. He also says, you should be thankful we're not running around here hanging crackers by nooses and all kinds of stuff yet. Some of these things that he has said and that he is attributed to this new Black Panthers national field marshal has said is downright despicable, downright horrible to say. He said, we don't allow faggots and lesbians in the new Black Panther army. Where is the people who come up in arms about, like the ones who came up in arms against Phil Robertson when he made a comment that was even less offensive than that one? They're nowhere to be seen. Envisions a world where every black person is ready to bang on his cracker. Another thing from this national field marshal for the new Black Panthers. Another one, wants to take over neighborhoods block by block so crackers or even the developer would be scared to come into them. Another one, we're taught to send this cracker to the cemetery, so kiss him goodbye. The national field marshal for the new Black Panther Party, King Samir Shabazz, engaged in multiple vicious tirades on his national radio, and this was on a national radio show, folks. Can you imagine any one of us doing the same thing about, talking about him? If I said some of these things about him, I'd be thrown in jail, taken to court, sued for everything I've got, which really isn't that much, but you know what I mean. And he did it this weekend, calling for broad violence against whites. And in related stuff, you remember Shabazz, made national news in 2008 when the Department of Justice brought a voter intimidation suit against him and the NBPP accomplice. They got in trouble for wearing Black Panther uniforms and brandishing a police-style baton outside a Philadelphia precinct during the presidential election. Shabazz, and I did a show on this show before I got to be with Conservative Nation Media. I did a show on him and the things that he was saying. I also did a post on my blog about him with videos of what he has done. No white person in the world would get away with the things that he's done. And he's still out of jail. He's leading the Black Panthers now. And Louis Farrakhan, Louis Farrakhan loves him. And so does Jesse Jackson. Department of Justice brought a voter intimidation suit against him and the NBPP in 2008. Like I said before, they got in trouble for wearing Black Panther uniforms and brandishing police-style batons in that Philadelphia precinct during the presidential election. Shabazz was charged on the grounds of violations of the Voting Rights Act. But on May 29, 2009, against the advice of prosecutors who had worked on the case, the Department of Justice ordered the suit dropped. Now, why? Even though Shabazz and other defendants in the case refused to appear in federal court. Now, do you, any of you see this kind of thing happening with some white person, having the case dropped like that? No, it would never happen, folks. It seems that the media glorifies this type of thing, but when it goes the other way, white to black, it's hate and should be condemned. There is one thing I have to say to the media and the left and the Black Panthers. You can't have it both ways. It's hate both ways and shouldn't be allowed, period. That's just one more way to show just how wrong this nation's leadership is. And the sad part of this is anyone who has a voice of reason like me or Ted Cruz or Rush Limbaugh or any of the hosts of CNN shows during the week say anything about this, we are the ones who are wrong. Conservative thought is the way this nation has to bring us back to the way the founding fathers meant America to be. And we have strayed so far from that ideal that the destruction to our way of life is the only way left if we continue on this road. One thing I wanted to talk about this week also, and we'll bring it up later in the show too, is the conservative way of life lost a really important voice this month. One of my friends, who I have mentioned a lot on the show, is one of the most knowledgeable people on the Constitution that I know of, Loki. He died a week or so ago of a massive stroke. His show, Founding Truth of the U.S. Constitution, which has been a popular show on Blog Talk Radio for years, is still going for Loki. And the people who need to know just what the founding document of our country says and what it means to the American people. Loki studied the Constitution and could tell you anything about it if you asked him. And we have lost a great knowing voice the last few weeks, and now God has him. If you get a chance to listen to his show, give it a try. It is a good one, even though it isn't through conservative nation media. It is still a good one. Loki will be missed, and I dedicate this show to him, as I believe the same things that he did. I believe that our Constitution is the way that this nation will be saved. And if we allow the Constitution to be destroyed, so goes the nation, I think. But he was 54, I think, is what his age. So it was kind of shocking to all of us who knew him that he died of a massive stroke, but he will be missed. And that is something that a bunch of us who knew him feel a loss for, because he really did know the Constitution very well. I have a call in here for 801 area code.
Oh, what?
Hello?
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 Hello. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Oh, well, I was calling in to listen to your show, but To give you a little, like, I guess just I could say my opinion real quick. Because, yeah, last left off that, you know, people don't really know the Constitution, you know. That is the most troubling thing about, you know, to me, today's educational standards, is that people don't really know the Constitution. Or the Bill of Rights, you know, just the key essential guaranteed rights that pretty much our society was built upon, that people... We have honestly drifted away from that. And see, I was calling in listening to your show, but I am personally a constitutional conservative. I'm a constitutional conservative from Utah. We have a national platform and all that good stuff. But I tell the youth all the time, because I'm only 28 years old myself, like, so I'm very young, and I'm also a black man, so I kind of get a little flack at times from, you know, from like liberal angles and things like that because, you know, of my race. I tell them this. I said, you know, the day that I was sold on the Constitution was the day that I began reading this book. And they asked me, what book did I read? And I told them, I said, okay, it's called The Miseducation of the Negro by Carter G. Woodson. Are you familiar with this book?
Actually, I have heard about it, but I'm coming up on a really hard break right now at the top of the hour. Could you hang on, and I'll get back with you after a little bit, because I think this is important. I really do.
Okay, sure. Yeah,
okay,
sure. Would you want me to hold on?
Yes, please do. And
I'll hold on.
Bit.
No problem.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, We will be right back with the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show heard here on Conservative Nation Media, and we will be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Heartland of America in West Central Indiana comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Girding. We are still considered traitors to the Obama nation, especially since we broadcast from one of only two states that run their budgets in the black, conservative style. Take that, Obama. You are listening to Hour 2 of the show, where we continue working for you to give you the truth that is not told by the lamestream media and the Obama bots. We are being broadcast to you through Conservative Nation Media on Blog Talk Radio. And now, here again is your host, Robert Girding. Okay, we are back for the second hour, and I have the man on area code 801. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You were talking about that book.
Yeah. Pretty much like I was saying, just to kind of recap a little bit. The day I really became for the Constitution was, well, I could say about 10 months ago, probably earlier this year. I was reading this book because I talked to my elders. You know, a lot of people in our society have forgotten that our elders are the key to our past, so we don't repeat it, you know. So I'm talking to some of my elders, you know, who are African-American men at my job, and they tell me about this book. And so those guys, they tend to be pretty liberal in their thought process. And I've never really been liberal myself, but I respected their opinion. So when I picked up the book and began reading it, I decided to also maybe pull off documentation off of educational websites and stuff to try to, you know, break down the book further. Well, then me breaking down the book further and looking at these educational sites, there's a key critical point in the book that awakened my mind to the Constitution that I think that all youth and the rest of America should become awakened to, and it's this. In this book, The Miseducation of the Negro, by Carter G. Woodson, on page 43 of this book, he he states, oh, and before I go, it is to be believed that Carter G. Woodson is the father of the NAACP. Unfortunately, we all now the NAACP is a totally racist organization that does not have the interest of African Americans in mind. If you are African American, you listen to this radio show, the NAACP is not for our interest at all, not even a little bit. Anyways, it says this. Not long ago, a measure was introduced in a certain state legislature to have the Constitution of the United States thus printed into schools' histories. But when the bill was about to be passed, it was killed by someone who made the point that it would never do to have Negroes study the Constitution of the United States. If the Negroes were granted the opportunity to peruse this document, they might learn to contend for therein rights guaranteed, and no Negro teacher who gives attention to such matters of the government is tolerated by the policy of keeping the Negro in his place. Page 43 of this book.
I've heard talk like this before. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I've heard talk about this before, but this is actually pretty cool because it's in print, so you know it can reach a lot of people where
Exactly. And that's all I was going to say. I mean, I'm not trying to take up your show or anything, but that's all I was trying to say.
Okay.
Is that people,
go ahead.
People don't realize that how powerful the Constitution is, the rights that are guaranteed therein. And I believe that through liberal indoctrination within our schooling system, and now the Republicans, of course, are joining on this fiasco through Common Core. So now it's a bipartisan effort. Through now the bipartisan effort that is Common Core, our kids learn more about an in-seat president's ideals than they learn about the Constitution. There's a problem with that. The Constitution, our rights guaranteed that should be in our school histories, but because of the indoctrination of our government-induced education now, our students will never be able to learn the Constitution and their rights. And that is a treasonous action upon our country and upon our foundations and upon our children, whether people realize this or not.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I've got a couple of kids in school right now, and to me, it totally amazes me the things that I knew at their age that they have no clue about because they haven't been taught.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it has a lot to do with the founding principles of this country, and essentially when it comes to schools being taught anymore, you're hearing things about how George Washington or Benjamin Franklin Benjamin Franklin was a womanizer, and that made him a bad man.
What? Why?
Yeah.
So we're teaching, and we're sensationalizing our founding fathers.
Oh,
wow.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And,
wow.
And I get this from my kids when they come home from school, and so I sit them down and I tell them just, you know, what they're being taught is wrong. And one of them went back to school and told his teacher you're wrong. You're not teaching us the right stuff. It kind of made me proud of her. But I'm really glad that you told me about that book. Yes, I do too. But my wife used to homeschool her first kids.
They make it hard now, though. I think I don't know what state it was in. I want to say Ohio, but I could be incorrect. But they're having measures being introduced, pretty much saying that you have to go through a CPS-induced assessment of your home before you go homeschool your child, and then they have to come in and monitor what you're homeschooling your child with. Really?
Yeah.
Part of homeschooling is homeschooling.
Yeah. Well, what they're trying to do is make it harder for us. They're trying to make it harder for us to do for our children what we need to do to make it so that they'll turn out to be productive citizens of this country. You know, they don't want that.
But more so, they don't want critical thinkers. Because when you have critical thinkers, the country can't function the way they want it to. They're trying to destroy critical thinking. That's how I feel about it. Because at 28 years old was the first time I really sat down and read the Constitution. Not because I never thought about it, not because I never really considered it, but just because I thought about the fact that, hey, as much as I know this document exists, I never really read it. Why is that? In all of my studying and all my years, including college, I never looked at the Constitution one time. And now I'm looking at it and I'm seeing it and I'm getting angry because I'm learning about the sovereignty and the natural law that's guaranteed to this country that the youth would love and eat up and be in ideal for. Because what people fail to realize is that, and I pose the question to people is this. As a constitutional conservative and the standing for the Constitution Party platform as it is right now, I personally believe in all of it. But that does not change the fact that there can't be constitutional liberals. I don't have a problem with a liberal. And I tell them that all the time. I say, as far as you're thinking, I don't really have a problem with you. What I'm asking is, why can't you take your ideals and turn to the Constitution and hold on to our foundations also with your thought process? That's what creates debate. The Constitution was a radical document in the sense of this. It gave everyone a chance to be able to freely express their thoughts. So what's stopping you from turning to our foundations?
And it amazes me that, you know, that we have everybody's talking about how the Republican Party is more on our side than the other side is, yet they will not do what the people are telling them to do because they feel they'll lose their base. Well, this is ridiculous. Their base is telling them what to do, but they're afraid to do it because they'll lose their base if they do. Huh? I don't understand.
They're just afraid of the crony capitalism losing their corporate welfare dollars. That's what they're afraid of.
Exactly. Yep. It's the almighty dollar, yeah.
And a dollar that's by 2028 can be taken over as the number one currency, you know. We're spending at such an egregious rate, and that's the only thing about these current neocon liberals that kill me, is that they don't understand conscientious budgeting. And the rhinos, too. People go, oh, what do you define as a rhino? Just because they made a bipartisan budget, he's a rhino? Yes, he's a rhino because of the fact that these two reasons. A true conservative would not cut funding to our military, and a true conservative would not let you guys raise the debt ceiling with a minimal vote. Those are not conservative foundations and ideals.
I have a couple of things here. Got questions in the chat room for you.
Okay, no problem.
They say they've heard you on BTR before, and they can't tell what show you were on, but you made sense then too. But one of them asked you if it's okay. What was your name?
Oh, my name is Carice. My name is Carice Thompson. I have been on Blog Talk Radio before on the NWO Will Fail, the Illuminati Exposed. I am a radio admin for them. Our show's been down for a little bit. I got to talk to actually one of my other admins about that. I've done some stuff on BTR before.
Well, you were also told by one of the ladies who's always in my chat room to thank you. So.
Oh, okay.
and
she's welcome.
And I know what you're talking about when it comes to being a black person and being a conservative, how hard it can be. I've got a friend who's down in Texas who is a conservative, and her problem is that she's not only a lady, but she's also black, and she gets it from both ends of the spectrum on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's, but I really appreciate your call. I've got to go. I've got a couple of things. I've got a
more announcements.
I got to put, but I sure appreciate you calling and giving that information. I wrote that down, the name of the book, so I want to get it. And I appreciate your call.
Yeah, it's a great book. It's a great book. Yeah, and thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
Okay, we are back, and I have another phone caller here. It's in the 720 area code, and hello, how are you today? Okay, well, I'll get back with them after a little bit, I guess. Connecticut, well, I kind of missed that one because of the great phone call I had a little while ago from Newsmax magazine that came in actually yesterday for January 2014 on the news front page comes this one titled Obama's Deal with Iran Risks Nuclear Arms Race, and it was written by David A. Patton. It goes on to say the U.S. is in a bad position to protect allies in the region, says former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton. It took only a few days for the Obama administration's coveted nuclear arms deal with Iran to experience a brutal collision with reality. The ink on the high-stakes bargain was still drying when Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif blasted the administration's interpretation of the deal as, quote, one-sided and invalid. Zarif was reacting to the administration's curious insistence that the deal did not acknowledge Iran's right to enrich uranium, when the text acknowledges a final agreement must include, quote, a mutually defined enrichment program, unquote. Woe to us that Zarif speaks with more credibility than the U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, commentator and foreign policy expert David M. Weinberg wrote in the Jerusalem Post. This is among the shortcomings of the interim agreement, according to the critics, it ignored Iran's status as the globe's leading state sponsor of terrorism. It did not require the Iranians to disclose their secret research facilities, and it did nothing to half elements of Iran's nuclear weapons program that do not involve enrichment. The agreement even allows work to continue at the controversial Iraq reactor, which will produce the nuclear weapons material plutonium once it is completed. The deal brought to mind Warren Buffett's maxim when he said, you can't make a good deal with bad people. just to clarify the Persian theocracy's ultimate intention, its Revolutionary Guard commander speaking just a few days after the deal was struck, claimed that Iran's ballistic missile technology now rivals that of Russia and the United States. The implication, Iran can deliver any weapon it creates. Former UN Ambassador John Bolton tells Newsmax the Iranian government leaves the United States in a far worse position in terms of protecting our friends and allies. A grave concern is that America's de facto acceptance of an Iranian enrichment program will leave traditional U.S. allies in the Middle East with no choice but to embark on their own nuclear weapons program, triggering a nuclear arms race in the Middle East. I swear, if we don't start waking up to what our politicians are doing, we may not have an America in 10 years. This is really getting scary, folks. We have countries over there whose leaders are telling the world that they wish that Israel and the United States did not exist and that they will do anything they can to make sure that scenario happens. And our leaders are pussyfooting around and pretending like if we be nice to them, they be nice to us. I don't think so. This is just like all of these bumper stickers that say coexist. Yeah, well, the problem with these kind of things, folks, is that there are people out there who do not want to coexist. They want to destroy anyone who doesn't agree with them, and they will do it. Problem with that whole thing is that America is falling right in line with this whole thing saying that we need to be friends with them so they will be friends with us. They don't want to be friends with us, folks. Don't fall for that lie. There are worrisome signs that proliferation has already begun. Prior to interim agreement, Saudi Arabia sent clear signals that it would swiftly counter any nuclear accommodation made to Iran, its bitter sectarian rival. If Bolton, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and the deal's many bipartisan critics in Congress are right about a deal they say reeks of political desperation, it has made the nightmare of an arms race in the Middle East more rather than less likely. The Saudis, the Egyptians, the Turks, and others will get nuclear weapons, Bolton tells Newsmax, which means not only will Israel be more vulnerable, but so will everybody else in the Middle East. And that includes any of our allies in the area, folks. Just how in the hell does this help America? That's my only question on this. We will be right back after. Well, kind of got ahead of myself there. But it seems the American people are getting the short end of the stick here, and most people don't even realize this. It's like I saw in the chat room, you know, and I want to talk about the Muslim Brotherhood later on in the show. This whole thing is just getting absolutely ridiculous, and we've got, like, here we got in Connecticut right now, we got residents who are waiting in long lines, and they did this on Thursday, to do something they never thought they would have to, but because of government overreach, they now stood in lines to register their firearms and high-capacity magazines before the state's new gun laws go into effect on January 1st of 2014. WFSB TV reports that the long line of people stood outside the public safety building in Middletown, Connecticut, all day to register semi-automatic rifles and high-capacity magazines. Several residents were upset with the unconstitutional requirement that while at least one person didn't appear to mind, I understand why they're doing it, he said, but institutional, the resident, Scott Bocchio, told WFSB TV as he was registering his guns. Charles Gillette, who was also registering magazines, told the news station that he would have a problem with it if the state was trying to ban the magazines for firearms, but if they just want to know where they are, that's fine with me. Well, there's where a lot of our problems come in. The government, unless these firearms are used in a crime, has absolutely no business sticking their nose into people's business. One of the reasons this country was formed was to get the government out of our living rooms, to get the government out of our lives, have them do just the things that a government should do according to the Constitution, and stay the heck out of our lives. That's not what's going on here. Government is overreaching on anything and everything that they are doing. And the sad part about this is that for years and decades, we have allowed this to happen. And hello, Iggy Mom, I just saw you in the chat room. Good to see you here. But we, we have got to realize that what the government is doing right now is they are setting up a sort of roadblock type thing. And that's the only way I can describe this. They want to make sure that the people have hurdles and ever-increasing hard stuff that they have to go through to even own a gun. And they know that we have guns out here. They know that there are people out here who have stockpiled massive amounts of ammunition for what they believe is coming. And the part about this whole thing with they believing it's coming, I believe it is too. Why else would the government stockpile and hoard all kinds of ammunition, from hollow point ammunition to the weapons that will fire these things? Because they know it's coming too. And they don't want to change what they are doing to stop it. So they are going to arm themselves so that when the time comes and we have to fight to save our existence in this country, they're going to be ready too. And that's where the sad, that's where the scary part comes in. And I'm really afraid for this country, folks. And it's like my phone call earlier said, you know, he talked about a book called The Miseducation of the Negro, and then quoted a section on page 43. I am going to get that book. That is something I really want to read. He brought up some really great points about how our children are being educated. And the sad part about that is it's not just the black children or the Hispanic children. It's all of them. The government wants a new generation of liberals, and they're going to do anything in the world that they can to make sure they get them. And part of that includes getting rid of homeschooling, because they can't control that. And the sooner we realize just what our government is doing to get rid of things that we have to have survive in our freedom, the better off we're going to be. Because we have to realize this. The government is not there for us now. They haven't been for a while now. And even though we do have a couple of people out there, like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, who are on our side, and another one that comes to mind right now is Alan West. We have to stop calling these people who are working to fight for our constitutional rights, name-calling, calling them terrorists and people who are un-American, because they are probably the most American out there when it comes to politicians. We will be right back. Well, I have kind of lost myself here on some of the things I've that I'll be doing.
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor.
Okay, I'm kind of got lost here, but that's where I'm supposed to be right now.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Manna used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise.
Oh.
Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to these essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds, starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner and join the conservative revolution, where America always wins.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation and this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Also from Newsmax magazine comes this one, appropriately titled, Above the Law. The President's controversial Obamacare fixes are on shaky legal ground, written by Andrew Harry. After the President Obama announced in November that he would permit insurance policies that his own health care reform had effectively nixed, it appeared that the spirit of George Orwell was alive and well. I completely get how upsetting this can be for a lot of Americans, the president told the nation, particularly after assurances they got that they heard from me that if they had a plan that they liked, they could keep it. And to those Americans, I hear you loud and clear. Yeah, right. He hasn't heard us loud and clear. And today, He went on to say, and today I'm offering an idea that will help to do just that. But from the perspective of insurance companies, state insurance commissioners, and Republicans in Congress, the president's decision to accept policies expressly forbidden by Obamacare overlooks the inconvenient fact that the health care law is, well, a law. Typical of the reaction of was that of Washington, D.C. Insurance Commissioner William P. White, who issued a warning that the president's move undercuts the purpose of the exchanges by creating exceptions that make it more difficult for them to operate. Premiums and market disruptions could result, he said. Well, we already have that, I think, in almost every aspect of the word. But the next day, White found himself out of a job. His audacity in criticizing Obama's makeshift patch job on his own policies evidently offended the district's left-leaning leaders, and he was shown the door. Seems like that is something that happens a lot in Washington these days. Disagree with Obama or his advisors or his cabinet, and you get booted out. I want to say, what a bunch of thin-skinned wussies, but that isn't it. They really do want anyone who disagree. They really do not want anyone to disagree with them. One of the reasons that the people who listen to this show and shows like this one have been called terrorists and un-American. And then what happened next is another normal in the Obama administration. Within 24 hours, trace of this criticism of William White's criticism had been erased from the city's websites, replaced by news speak-worthy email that said, "We're taking a close look at implications of the president's announcements," it stated, "and we will soon recommend a course of action after taking into consideration the positions of all the stakeholders." This is just one of the many ways that the liberal left does what they do to change history and why our children are in so much trouble if the parents aren't involved in their education. Most schools today are liberal to the core. And most of us know this. In defense of his remarks, White said to remain silent would have been tantamount to dereliction of duty. Dereliction of duty is precisely the charge Republicans leveled against the president, a former constitutional law professor who they charge countermanded laws whenever it suits his purpose. Texas Senator Ted Cruz told Newsmax in an exclusive interview, "One of the most troubling aspects of the Obama administration is, aside from their radical policies, is the way they've implemented them has sadly been lawless." Over and over again, this president has said, "I don't care what the law is. I'm going to refuse to enforce it." And it is a sad point. And that is the sad point of this whole thing. He is still the president, and he has supporters like Senator Harry Reid, who says, "Everyone who opposes Obama is truly un-American and a criminal," to which I respond, "Who is the criminal?" I can assure you all that the criminal isn't the American people or people like Ted Cruz or Senator Mike Lee. And it is time we started to wake up and realize that even most on our side in Washington who do not care, that even the most of the ones who are supposedly on our side, like the Republicans, do not care what we think. John McCain, he doesn't give a darn. The only time that he cares is when it seems to affect his ability to maybe stay in office. Then he'll come out with this grandiose idea that seems to agree with what we all are saying, but he doesn't mean it. It is time we started to wake up and realize that even most on our side in Washington do not care what we think, and they do not want to do what we want them to do. They, for some reason, feel that if they do what we want them to do, then they will lose their position of power in Washington and their base. I mentioned on the phone call earlier, The base is what's telling them what to do. How can they lose the base if they do what the base is telling them? I guarantee you, what they think is quite the opposite from what is really actually going on, isn't it? ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern. That's tomorrow, 5 Central, immediately following Soldiers of Patriotism, and that's normally true, but until Michael Smith, who does Soldier of Patriotism, is on hiatus right now and with problems that keeping him away, and he will be back sometime after the new year, but right now we have American by Design on Sundays with Uncle Bing Fisher, so stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're getting started in a big way, really. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Founded in 1928, the Muslim Brotherhood has reached the pinnacle of its existence. Egypt this week has named them a terrorist group. To me, this is something that I never would have expected to come out of Egypt. But now, according to the rules of this, the Muslim Brotherhood cannot do the things that they've been doing because they are now illegal. And a lot of people here in America are probably wondering why this is even being brought up. Well, it affects us here in America, too, because the Muslim Brotherhood is here also. If you had listened to Kathy Hinner's show, Daily Roll Call, last night on Friday, you would have heard it. And she said some things that I have thought a lot about, too. The Muslim Brotherhood is in the White House. Do you ever wonder why Obama won't do anything against the Muslim Brotherhood? He has 5 people that we know of that works for his administration that are in the Muslim Brotherhood. So we now have the terrorist organization that has just been named by Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood, as part of our own government. And I really think that this administration has been put in place to further the Muslim Brotherhood agenda. He can get away with murder, folks. Yes, Obama, he can. He can hide his transcripts when no other president could without getting into trouble. His donations are being kept secret, even though no other president could get away with this. And 2 weeks ago, the person who held some records about Obama was killed in a plane crash. I think that Obama has many people out there who will take out anyone who gets too close to the real truth of what is in the Obama administration, what's in their agenda. And the election of in 2016, it will not be a fair one. Mark my words here. My words, we will be right back for the final segment of the show after these messages.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backslash.
When I grow up, I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
a
sunny porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I
want
to
be
a...
I
want
to be a...
I
want to
be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place. making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie.
Is that a new plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kinda wanna know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
And finally, we here at the New Wide Conservatism Radio Show want to leave you with our weekly thought of the day, which this week goes back to last week also when I mentioned a quote from Ronald Reagan. Remember, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on to them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States, where men were free. Now, I brought this up again because of my thought of the day today, and have you ever heard of Islamberg? Now, before you consider too much, I will enlighten you a little. There are 16 to 18 of these inside the United States, and yes, I said inside the United States, are training areas for future terrorists of the world. Now a lot of information was given last night on Kathy's show on the Muslim Brotherhood and what they are doing, and a lot of what is going on should be of great concern to us here in America. And if we don't fight now on this, we are going to have to fight later. Remember Reagan's quote here, freedom must be fought for and protected for it will so that it will be there to hand down to our children. The fight is coming, folks, and it's being brought to us by our own government, who are allowing the Muslim Brotherhood inside of it. And, folks, it's time to remember, this week they have been named a terrorist group. And what are we doing here? Are we insane? Have we lost the desire to keep America a strong and free country? If we follow along with what our government is doing to us, the answer is a very strong yes, because we are sitting back and not doing anything when our government does things that will not help our country in any way, shape, or form. Remember Islamberg in New York? From Bare Naked Islam comes this about it, written on the 23rd of December, and they wrote, "Suddenly, it's a ghost town. All Muslim jihadists seem to have disappeared, raising grave concerns among FBI and Homeland Security officials that an onset of jihadist activity here may be imminent." Well, what do you think? Hundreds of Muslim men are missing from Islamberg, and it is not a propitious omen. U.S. investigators are discovering that more and more young Muslims are vanishing from mosques, madrasas, and Islamic centers. The sentry post is gone, and no guards are in sight at the entrance to the 70-acre Islamic settlement located in the dense forest between and Hancock in upper New York State. Young men in Islamic garb no longer congregate before the makeshift mosque, and no students are in attendance at the one-room shack that serves as Sheikh Gilani's International Quranic Open University. Gunfire is no longer can be heard from the firing ranges along the eastern perimeter of the property, and no grunts come from the new recruits at the obstacle course. What has happened to this once bustling complex of radical Islamists, a place where cries of muezzins were accompanied by the incessant rat-a-tat of machine gun fire? Where are the Arab dignitaries that used to visit this remote community in chauffeur-driven limousines? Where are the armed sentries who warded away all intruders? What has happened to this bustling center of jihadi training? What has happened to this bustling center of jihadi training? Why has Islamburg become a ghost town? The same phenomenon of vanishing Muslim men is taking place at mosques, madrasas, and other Islamic communities throughout the country and at other Jamaat-u-Fakra paramilitary compounds, including one in White and Red House, Virginia. U.S. investigators are now discovering that many of the missing Muslims are showing up in the killing fields of Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Somalia. Five American Muslims recently were arrested in Pakistan following a raid at the home of a member of the Jaish-e-Mohammed, a Pakistani movement designated as a terrorist group by the U.S. Treasury Department in 2001. David Coleman Headley, another Muslim who disappeared, is a native of Chicago who attended Lashkar-e-Toiba, operated terrorism training camps in Pakistan and helped the group's members and others plan and execute attacks in Denmark against the newspaper which published cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad, you remember that one, which Muslims found offensive, as well as violent attack on Mumbai wherein about 170 people died. At the same time Headley was taken into custody, U.S. investigators discovered that 20 Somali immigrants who were reported missing from a mosque in Minnesota had joined the Islamist insurgent group Al-Shabaab and were engaging in fighting in Somalia's U.S.-backed government. Where are the Muslim men in Islamburg? The answer comes from a heavy-set woman in a long black burqa who stops to check her mailbox. The men are all gone, she says in halting English, all in Pakistan. Now the recruits at Islamburg have been trained in the basics of guerrilla warfare. They have been deployed to Pakistan for advanced courses in explosives, weapons, and weapons of mass destruction. They will be returning home soon. Ask any American if they want the Muslim Brotherhood here in America or running our government, and you will get a resounding no. But we are allowing it by allowing our own government to do the things that they are doing now. And mark my words, the Muslim Brotherhood is feeling really empowered now because they are being protected all over the place here in America. And we know there are at least five in the Obama administration. It is time for everyone to start doing their homework as to what is going on here in America and in your own states. If you have a mosque in your area, then you have the Muslim Brotherhood, folks. Islamic network groups in California, and they train school workers and the media and law enforcement. They have speaker bureaus all over the country. The Muslim Brotherhood Teachers Group in Illinois was founded in 1963 to teach about the Muslim Brotherhood, to teach our children everything the Muslims are about. And they have some of the most radical Muslims available for this organization to do the teaching. Their goal is to teach as many people as possible to get them to convert to Islamism so that they can maybe be trained to someday become like Muhammad Atta, you know, one of the pilots on 9/11. And who better to get while forming ideals for life than to get the children? These people are in our high schools. Do your homework. And you realize debating Muslims is like playing chess with a pigeon. No matter how good you are, the pigeon will knock over all the pieces and shit on the board and claim victory. Think of the Islam-Muslim encroachment on America, on the American society in this way. How about the Islamic Society of North America? Google it. Here is what I found with one Google search. From their website, the INSA is going to be holding their third annual education forum in January in Anaheim, California. And coming up is their 15th annual education forum in April in Rosemont, Illinois. They have scholarship programs. There is a matrimonial event coming in January at the Hilton Anaheim in California. Now, what are all these about? They are trying to make everyone think they are democratic and want to bring people together. But the problems in come in with their faith. It isn't a faith. It is a way of life, folks. The scholarships are just about what they believe, to provide opportunities to make college more affordable, which a lot of youth will like, and encouraging the growth of certain critical fields of study for young American Muslims. Jihadist activities, maybe? After all, folks, we are the infidels here, and they want to eradicate us from the earth, are we not? We have to remember when we talk, when they talk of being democratic, that it isn't what we think is democratic. Their idea of democracy, which is not what America is, by the way, includes Sharia law, which is not compatible with the United States Constitution. One or the other has to go, and which one they are advocating has to go. At their annual convention, they will be showing films like City of Saints, Forging Connections Among Muslims, Torn Between Two Worlds, My Neighborhood, Saudi Women on the Steps of Change, excuse me, Waging Peace, Abida, Malwa, Muslim, California Muslims, and more. You think these are movies about how great America is? I'm going to research these and let you know in the coming show just what these movies are about, so the titles of some should tell you. On November 8, 2013, the Indianapolis Airport Interfaith Chaplaincy, or the IIAIC, dedicated a new chapel meditation room. You've probably heard about these kind of things where they have to have foot baths for their meditations. And during the time that their people are in there meditating, nobody else can come in. The IIAIC funded the remodeling project at the brand new airport and furnishings of the new room, which probably include washing basins for Islamic prayer rituals. And I'm running out of time here. But there are a whole bunch of other things, and all you have to do is Google all of this stuff and find out just what is going on. right now I'm running out of time, and I hope that your Christmas was great. I hope that 2014 will be great for all Americans and the world, too, as we move closer to a time when we can get to the polls and help change the direction our leadership is heading us for. And I thank you all for listening to the show, and I hope that you come back next week. Thank you for that great phone call I had earlier, and sorry I couldn't hear anything from that other one that called in. We hope that you have a great week, and God bless America. God bless you all. God bless our troops. See you next week.
It was lovely to see you again, and until next week.
God bless you all.